receive, sir. Amen, amen. It's time for class to start. How everybody's doing? Praise God. Glory to God. We're going to get into a brief word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the subject. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing by your Spirit in these last days. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're a part of your plan, Lord God, and that you're going to use us, Lord God, to flood the earth with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. We thank you for signs and wonders and manifestations and gifts of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. We thank you for our apostle, Lord God, and the anointing you have placed upon his life, Lord God. And that, Lord God, as we stay connected, Lord God, that, Father God, that the blessings that's upon his life is going to roll on our lives also, Lord God. And, Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that as I minister this evening, Lord God, hallelujah, I rely totally and completely on you, Lord God, for you know that if you do not show up, Lord God, I'd fall flat on my face. So I acknowledge my infirmities, and I thank you right now, Lord God, that I'm going to be made strong in my infirmities by the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What I want to do is address, we had a question off of the last quiz that we had taken, and I want to make sure that I address that. And as I stated about one or two class sessions ago, if any time you have a question you don't understand or something that I might have stated, you know, go ahead on an email through the email system on the website. I generally see it the first day, maybe within a couple of hours, depending on how quickly I am checking my emails. Normally I can get them all on my phone. A lot of times I'll wait till I'm you know, at my computer. But either way, I'll try to most definitely get that information back to you. Anyway, that question was question number one. And that question stated, a ministry that loses focus on its God-given mandate becomes intoxicated like Noah did with a sideline ministry and becomes uncovered in the world. Now, the actual answer or the right statement would have been become uncovered in his tent or in the church, not in the world. Noah, as we remember, was in his tent when he was uncovered. And so that was a true-false question, and that answer would have been false. But anyway, just let me expound on that. It says, a ministry can become uncovered in its own tent, not in the world. That answer could be found. I just want to let you know that's on right around the bottom of page 55 into page 56. Anytime an individual goes away from their corporate mandate, whatever God had designed and ordained for them to do, when you drift away, see, Noah was told by God to repopulate the earth. You know, that was his corporate or his primary objective after the flood. And Noah got intoxicated, the author stated, because of you know what God had blessed him with, and he began to grow grapes, and by doing so, as we know, he made wine and became intoxicated. And the author says that the grapes was a byproduct of what God was doing, but it wasn't the main forte. God wanted him to populate the earth. And so he used that more or less as an analogy for ministry, that any time you drift away from what God initially called you to do and start getting involved in a sideline ministry or a byproduct of that ministry, you know, if God called you to be, say, a teacher, and then but for some reason you decide, I want a pastor. You know, well, that's not your God-given mandate. That's not your gifting and your calling. And so now you're venturing off in another area that God didn't ordain. You know, the Bible says, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, so it's very important that, you know, we stay. And you see what happened with Noah, because he drifted away and got intoxicated, it affected Ham, you know, and Ham was cursed because of Noah drifting off. That's why it's so important, you know, for ministries and ministers to stay on target, because they affect a lot of people. And so if they drift, or if they do something that's not ordained by God, well, then that makes other people feel that they can do something, the author said, and easily get away with it, you know. But it's so very important that we stay with God's mandate, with God's plan for our lives. Let's see, I think I covered that pretty well. But I just wanted to, I had a student who had a question in that area, and we wanted to definitely cover it. Okay, what we're going to be talking about today is how to build honor. How to build honor. And we want to give some examples of honor. We've been talking a lot about dishonor and people who dishonored and did not walk in the respect and the honor by honoring their apostolic source, or honoring the people that God had placed him under. But we're going to be looking a little bit on how to grow and how to build honor. Okay, honor grows generations. So when you show honor, you're sowing a seed for a generational blessing. When you sow honor, you're sowing seeds for generational blessing. You know, and that word blessing or blessed means empowered to prosper. So honor will grow generations. So when you sow honor, you're sowing seeds of honor that's going to create generational blessings. When you sow dishonor or a dishonor seed, the generations are cut off. In other words, when you cut something off, it's not going to grow. It's never going to come to fruition of what God wanted it to be. Anytime dishonor is sown, it as we stated earlier, it will inhibit. But to some, even at times, depending on how severe that dishonor is and how, you know how deep-seated it is, you can actually cut off your generation. In other words, those that's coming after you, who's following you, you're going to hinder their progress because of your dishonor. Dishonor does not just only affect an individual. It affects those under, or that the generations. If it's a physical family, you know, with a mother and a father and children, it'll affect the children and the children's children. But if it's a spiritual father and there's dishonor there, it'll affect his offspring and the offspring that's coming after them. So that's very important that, you know, seeds of honor are sown properly. Proverbs 26:2 says, as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow flies, so the curse causeless shall not come. When you sow a dishonor seed, as I said, the generations are cut off. There's always a reason why generations of people's legacy is cut off under the curse, according to Proverbs 26:2 in the B part, which says, the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, there's always a reason why the curse is placed upon individuals or ministries or generations, because some seed of dishonor, some disrespect was sown. There was a reason for it. There's always a reason. And so we want to make sure that honor will grow the generations. We want to grow generations. We want to nurture and admonish and see the kingdom of God flourish. So it says here, honor grows generations, a blessing upon legacy. Dishonor will castrate. Castrate means to cut off generational destiny. I know ministries personally and people personally who dishonored, you know, their pastor or their spiritual father. And instead of covering them, and we talked about that a little bit last week, they talked about them in a wrongful and a negative way and a disrespectful way, and they didn't cover as Noah's other two sons did when Ham found and saw his nakedness. But the two sons went backwards and they covered their fathers, because they were not only covering their father, but they were also covering themselves from falling into the same trap that their father had fallen into. So honor will grow generations of blessings upon legacy. Dishonor will castrate generational destiny. Honor grows generation of blessings, and as it grows, it's going to nurture, and you're going to see more fruit abound. Anytime a person sows dishonor, their seed, their legacy, their ability to possess the future is cut off. We want to possess, you know, one thing about Christianity, you're always taking territory. You're always moving forward. You know, it's always advancing. The author talks about one minister who had a mighty dynamic ministry in Africa. But for some reason, he said the ministry had started to stalemate. It wasn't going anywhere. And he knew that there was some spiritual implication that was causing his ministry not to move forward. So he went to this one gentleman who was a father of prayer. And this guy would just pray and see God. And he went to him with an offering. And he says, I want you to pray and see God and find out why my ministry is stagnated. Why it seems like I'm being cut off. The ministry is castrated. We're not advancing like we were before. And he said, the guy prayed for about 72 hours nonstop. And then when the man of God went to see him again, he said, the reason why your ministry is at a stalemate is because you have dishonored your spiritual father. And he said, you need to go to him and bring a gift and repent and ask him to pray for you to release basically Proverbs 26:2. You know, because of his disobedience, he was walking under a curse and his ministry wasn't able to move forward. So the author stated, and you probably read it in the book, he said when the guy got up close to the house or into the house, he actually got on his knees and just kind of crawled to him, and when the spiritual father saw him, he said, my son, I've been waiting for you. And then he went up to him and he repented and he gave him, presented a gift, an offering. You never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. And he asked for forgiveness. And once the man of God prayed and released him. You know, there have been times I've heard the apostles say, Apostle Thomas said, people have come to him because of things they said against him and the ministry God has called him to. And it's done their ministry or their growth, or just, if it was a family, they just had problems. You know, they weren't making no advances and things were looking bleak and dim. And they prayed and God says, you need to go and you need to go to the man of God and repent and ask him to pray for you to release you. In these days that we're living in now, because of government that's being established, because we have gone back, we were going back, but now we're back to God's original plan. And the fivefold ministry gifts and the anointing and the power of God's ability, because people are respecting these offices and they're going back to the position that God always wanted them to be in, a position of high authority. You don't want to disrespect and dishonor offices and men of God and women of God who God has placed in offices, because basically you're damning yourself. You're causing, God's hand to back away from you. You know, a lot of times a curse is just being uncovered, because once you're uncovered, you're exposed, and the enemy has an open ticket to start to bring all kinds of disease and all kinds of calamity and misfortune to your life. You know, so it's very important that we understand these principles and apply it to our lives. And it's one thing to hear it, it's one thing to understand it in a book, but you gotta walk it on a daily basis.
you know, I remember Kenneth Hagin would always stay. I think I remember the apostle was kind of making reference to it a couple of a week or so ago. He would never say nothing negative about an individual. If you mention a person's name, I remember him in one of his books, he said, they'll say, "What do you think about so-and-so?" And he said, "I know him." And, you know, if he couldn't say nothing good about him, he wouldn't say nothing else. You know, he would just, you know, leave it alone because he knew the importance of words that's spoken out of your mouth and how, you know, with your tongue, you can release blessings or you can release cursing. And it's so very important that we know how to control our tongue and only speak the blessing. Because see, one way to reverse dishonor is to now begin to sow by speaking blessings and by reversing the things you said and by sowing a seed. Those are our ways that you can actually begin to reverse that. Okay, let's move on. I want to talk about Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're going to be reading around verses 9 through 10. It talks about Jabez. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. You can be honorable, but you can also be more honorable. And by being more honorable, you begin to work those principles with more fervency, with more gusto. You're not just going through the motions, but you're adamant about it. You're putting more dynamic in it. It says in 1 Chronicles 4, 9, I don't know how far I'm going to read on it, but it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thy hand might be upon me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And the Lord granted him that which he had requested." Now, Jabez's mother named him Jabez, meaning one born in sorrow, you know. She one that gave her much pain. And they said that Jabez was actually born, according to the author from the text, he wasn't born in the palace, but he was born in the slums. So he didn't have a well-to-do life. But even so, and he didn't even know his father, but he didn't disrespect or dish his mother, but he honored her. And he went out of his way to do whatever he could to provide for her when he was able to, and to honor her and to respect her and to show honor to whom honor was due, because his mother was a life source. And we talked about that several weeks ago. We need to honor life sources, you know, even if a parent might have not been the best parent, but they were the ones that produced you and gave you life. You know, you're here because of them. And the Bible says we should honor our mother and our father. So here we see Jabez honoring his mother. Jabez's brothers were honorable, he says, but the scripture says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. The scripture also tells us why his mother named him Jabez, and we just talked about that, because he was born in sorrow and he caused her much pain. Jabez, despite the fact that he was born in sorrow, born in the slums, caused his mother pain and did not know his father, he never hated his mother. He never complained. He never was disrespectful to his mother. He always honored his mother. Instead, he showed more honor to his mother than his brothers, because she was his life source. Jabez showed honor, and because of that, when he prayed to God, God answered his prayer. And let's just go look at kind of an analyze what Jabez's prayer was. The Bible says, "And God granted him that which he had requested." He, Jabez, wasn't the only person that prayed that prayer. And that prayer says, "God, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." You know, The word bless means empower me to prosper. Now, because he was honorable and he honored his mother, he had a legal right to go to God and say, God, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and thou would enlarge my coast. In other words, when you look at coast, you're talking about territory, that you might expand my horizons, my territory, my worth, the property that I own. You know, that you might enlarge my coast. Then he goes on to say, and that thy hand might be upon me. Jabez wanted God's hand upon his life. When you walk in honor and you honor those people, mother, father, spiritual fathers, those people God has placed in your life, God's hand can be placed upon your life because of honor. Honor will cause the hand of God to be upon your life because you are sowing a seed of honor. You know, I remember as a Baptist, there was this old Baptist song that we used to sing coming up as a kid. You know, he said, you know, you can't beat God's giving, no matter how hard you try. But when you sow honor, you're giving of yourself, giving of your time, giving of your finances, and you're sowing it, and you're blessing someone else. And so now God sees that. And because it's a spiritual principle, now God is able to open up and open, extend his hand out to you, and his hand can be upon your life. Then he goes on to say, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Not only did he want his coast to be enlarged, that God's hand to be on him, you know, and that God would bless him, but he says, Lord says, I want you to keep me from evil. You know, and I think about David when David prayed, you know. You know, David could have prayed for a lot of things, but he said, Lord, I just think that you can give me wisdom, that I might judge the people that you have put me over. And here Jabez says, look, I don't want to stay or stray into evil, but I want you to keep me from evil. That's an honorable prayer to when you're praying to God and ask God, Lord, you know, I know as a kid we used to pray the Our Father prayer, you know, that we yield not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. You know, I prayed that prayer growing up every night for years. I'd get on my knees. But, you know, as an adult and going into my adult life, going into college, you know, the temptations and the cares of the world and those things that were out there, you know, God always delivered me. I can spend, you know, 4 or 5 class sessions just with the hand of God just delivered me. Even though I was headed in the wrong direction, he turned me around and got me back on track and is, you know. But I think about those times growing up as a kid, you know, being disciplined, you know, and even though times I knew that I might have been right in my actions and you know, the information that got back to parents or teachers or guardians might have been not completely accurate. I remember the Lord told me, he said, just take it. You know, don't try to defend your cause, you know, because, you know, these people are placed there, you know, as guardians over you. And I remember as a kid, the scripture would come up how Jesus stood before him as a lamb before his slaughterers, you know, and he opened not his mouth. And so a lot of times I used to just stand there and just take a scourging, even though I might not have been the one that did it, you know, but even so, you know, sometimes you think you're getting the raw end of a stick. But God sees your heart, and that's something I've learned over the years. And when you keep your heart pure and open towards God, you know, God's hand's going to continue to remain on your life, because as you continue to be honorable, you know, and sow seeds of honor, you can't help but reap a harvest of blessing. Amen? Let's move on about Jabez. And I shared this already about, you know, people I know and ministries that I know. You can be very powerful, or you can be a very powerful, or you can be a very anointed person. You can be, have all kind of gifts operating in your life, but you need to be very careful of the entrapment of the devil. It says, if you sow a seed of dishonor, with all your anointing and all the gifts that you have, you will cancel your ministry. You will cancel it because dishonor will break generations, but sowing seeds of honor will enlarge your coats. You know, so the author talks about people who were very anointed, and God was using them. But he says here that if you sow a seed of dishonor, even though you're anointed, even though, you know, God's been using you, your seed of dishonor will cancel your ministry. When you cancel something, it's there, but it's not being productive. You know, I like I said, over the years, I've just seen ministries that flourish that are now almost not even existent anymore because of seeds of dishonor that were sown. You know, and a lot of times it's hard to get back on track. Whenever you lose ground, you know, say if you're running a race and you fall, your chances of finish or winning that race and becoming first gets you know, diminishes quite a bit because it's hard to make up ground. One of the things but even so, it's good to be able to backtrack and get back on track, you know, with your life and with your ministry. But one of the things you don't want to do, you don't want to make a wrong turn or a misstep, you know, stumble and fall and be tripped up by the devil because of dishonor, because of disrespect, and then lose years. You know, some people lose years of what God wanted them to. There are people who live and die and never complete the first phase of their ministry because they get off track. They get into dishonor. And like I said, their ministries get cut off because they don't know how to how to keep their mouth closed, how to respect and honor those people God has put into authority. Let's look at an example. We looked at Jabez, but let's look at probably the most perfect example, and that's Jesus. Let's look at how Jesus honored his father. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and we may read verse 9, it's talking about Jesus here. It says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifices and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me." It's talking about Jesus. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure." Verse 7 says, "But lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Now that's Jesus talking. "Lord, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will." One way of honoring your man of God is by, and I will get to it in a few minutes because it's in my notes, but by learning the teaching and getting the revelation that that's coming forth out of his mouth, and by getting manifestations to take place in your life, and not only you just get the manifestations, but now you are instructing and training others to get victory in their lives. That's one way, because there's no greater joy than when your man or your woman of God begin to see the results take place in your life because you're operating the principles that they have imparted into you. So they know that it's not only just working in their life, but it's working in your life also. I can remember, I guess it was about 5 years ago, the Lord blessed my wife and I where we were able to just pay one lump sum payment and just pay our house off. We had owed about maybe $50,000, $60,000 on it. And the Lord supernaturally blessed us and we just paid it off. And one Wednesday, I walk up to the pulpit and I sowed a seed into my man of God. And I said, "Pastor, I just want to let you know that, you know, I'm completely out of debt. I owe no man nothing but to love him." And one of the first things I noticed when I said that, I looked over at the first family because they were all sitting on the front row. I think it was a Sunday because they were on the front row. I looked at their faces and they were just jubilated. You know, like, wow, you know, because it's nothing like seeing, you know, even with like my kids, when I see my son and I had a conversation this past Saturday and he was sharing some things with me that kind of blew me away because I'm seeing, Lord, he's really getting this. He's really understanding. He was telling me some things about, you know, I understand what pastor's talking about and things that at Reverend Montrell, as working with the youth, have been instilling in the youth, you know. And he, one of the things he said, Reverend Montrell said, that really stuck with him. He said, whenever he go, before he go out to minister or share, you know, or lead praise and worship, he said, Lord, if you don't come with me, I can't go out there on my own. You know, I can't do it in my own strength. You know, and my son would say, you know, he recognized that in his schoolwork and in things that he do. Said, Lord, you gotta be with me. If you're not with me, I can't do it. You know, recognizing your inability and your insufficiency. But it was a blessing. But you know, getting back to what I was saying, when the man of God and the man and the woman of God heard what I had said, I saw it in their face. You know. And it was like, wow, you know, them seeing it, because not only was it something that happened in their life, but now it's rolling over to the congregation, you know. And when I see something that I've been trying to instill in my son or my daughter, and I see it manifested in their lives as a joy, because, you know, honor will what? It will cause the generations to prosper and to grow and to be blessed. But dishonor will cause the generations to be cut off, you know. And so we want to always make sure we sow those seeds of honor so that our generations can be blessed. Let me move on. I was reading and I stopped. Okay, this is Jesus. We're talking about Jesus here. He says, verse 7, then he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Verse 9, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, again. So here Jesus is saying, Lord, my purpose is to do thy will. And in John chapter 17, verses 1, we may read from verses 1 through 6, is talking about Jesus again. It said, these words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to the heavens and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus wanted to glorify God. And one of the ways Jesus glorified the Father was by completely carrying out his will. And God's will was for Jesus to come and to put the word out, but at the same time he came to be the Savior for the world. So he was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And he had to offer himself up. By him dying on the cross and being raised again for our justification, gave glory to God. In other words, he honored his Father by carrying out the plan, excuse me, that God had set out for him. Jesus went ahead on and said, Jesus brought glory to the Father by going to the cross. Verse 2 says, as thou hast given me power over all flesh, he that should give eternal life to me as many as thou hast given me. Then he says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. It says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Jesus is telling God, I've done what you've told me to do, and I'm finishing this course that you've called me to do. He says, I have finished my work, which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men. So here now Jesus saying, all through the gospel, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what I see my Father do. So here he's glorifying, I'm using the word glorify, which he is, but he's honoring his Father by fulfilling the Father's wishes. You know, when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, the Bible says the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove. And what did the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. In other words, he's carrying out, he's entering into his ministry, and up to this point, I'm well pleased. And even when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I want to read this here. It says, the greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. And one way of sowing an honor seed towards your spiritual Father is by walking in the revelation knowledge he is releasing and having physical manifestations from the spiritual truths that your father has taught you and passing those truths on to others. I'm going to read it again. The greatest seed that one can sow is an honor seed. And one way to sow honor towards your spiritual father is by walking in the revelation knowledge he is releasing. Every time the man of God gets in the pulpit, he's releasing revelation knowledge, you know, a heaven to earth connection. And he's giving it out. And he says by walking in the revelation knowledge he's releasing and having physical manifestation. In other words, you know, you're seeing the manifestation. You know, you're seeing debt cancellation. You're seeing God doing things in your life, and you're seeing growth. You know, that's giving honor. And not only are you having manifestations from the spiritual truth that your father has taught, but now you're passing these truths on to others. So Jesus was one man, and he discipled 12 men. And those 12 men, the Bible says, turn the world upside down. You know, that's giving glory to God, because Jesus came and he fulfilled, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Lord, if there's any other way that this can be done, can you let this cup pass? But he said, nevertheless, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. That's giving glory to God. That's giving glory and honor to the Father. Let's see. And I just really stated that here. Jesus walked in the perfect will of the Father. What we're going to be talking about, I'm going to get into maybe just probably the wisdom aspect. But there's in building honor, there's various attributes that you can nurture. When I say attributes, things that when you begin to develop it, like give you Jesus, for example. The Bible says that, and I want to get into this also, in Philippians 2, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible, here's another illustration of Jesus perfectly fulfilling the will of God. It says in Philippians 2 and 5, it says, let this same mind, now this is the Amplified, it's not the King James, so it's going to sound a little different. He said, let this same mind of purpose and humble mind be in you which was in Christ. Let him be your example of humility. One of those attributes is humility, you know, walking in humility. And when you walk in humility, you're walking in obedience to God. I always thought for years humility meant weakness, you know, but humility is simply obeying the will of the Father. Humbly laying down your life, you know. In other words, as the apostle been saying, does God own you? You know, laying down your life and say, Lord, here am I. I'm clay, but you're the potter. Mold me and shape me for your glory, so that I can be a vessel of honor, you know, and glory to your name. But let me read on. It says here, verse 6. Who, although being essentially one with God, this is Jesus, and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which made God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But he stripped himself of all his privileges and rightful deity, so that to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, and that he became like a man and was born as a human being. We read earlier, he talked about a body that thou had prepared for me, and Jesus becoming human. And then it says in verse 8, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and he humbled himself, you know, humility, still further. He humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme, which was death, even death on the cross. And because of him fulfilling God's will to that degree, it says, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him. Thinking about Jabez, and because Jabez was more honorable, God granted Jabez what he requested. Now here Jesus is doing the will of the Father, and it says here that, therefore, God, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, you know, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, that's what it's all about. It was because Jesus humbled himself to do the Father's will that God highly exalted him. That's why he was exalted, because he did the will of the Father. Jabez is an example of how to sow honor and how to build honor on an individual level. It was his prayer was unique and extraordinary. He set himself apart by honoring his mother and by also receiving the benefits and the blessings of sowing honor. Let's see, I have 10 minutes left. Unfortunately, there are many young lions or young ministers, young gifts in the body of Christ that are immature. And one of the things, you know, and that's why it's so important to have a covering, because a lot of young men, a lot of young women want to go out and want to minister. But because if you don't have a role model, if you don't have somebody who can speak into your life, you're going to find yourself making missteps and mistakes and saying wrong things about people and not knowing, you know, the consequences of your wrong actions. The author says that, you know, as a direct result, we see things, wrong things against our people. You know, young ministers are saying wrong things against spiritual dignitaries or people in positions who are in government, I should say. You know, and he goes on to say they will dishonor like an Apostle Thompson or Kenneth Copeland or Benny Hinn. He just used a few names that we're familiar with, by speaking badly about them or criticizing their ministry or what God has called them to do, without understanding the consequences that they are actually sowing seeds of dishonor. What these young lions are lacking is a spirit of wisdom. You see, the Bible says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally and abrade it not, you know, but let him ask in faith. One of the attributes of being able to sow honor is asking God for wisdom on, Lord, what should I do? Because see, a lot of times we don't know, and that's why praying in the Holy Spirit is so important. Because as you pray in the Holy Spirit, God will give you wisdom, supernatural wisdom, you know, that's coming from above. And all of those things help you to display, to demonstrate, and to sow honor in those people whom honor is due. Because God may give you a specific way or something to do where you're honoring your man or your woman or God that's unique just to you, you know. And as you, I remember this one brother, he would tell me, he would say, you know, whenever the apostle goes various places, the Lord just told me just to go there and just to be his armor bearer, you know. And I would just show up, and when he got there, I would take his briefcase. This was years ago. This was before, you know, some of his natural sons were old enough to travel with him, you know. But this gentleman now, he has his own ministry. He's a son, you know, he's hooked up to LTMA, and God is blessing his ministry. But I remember, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I remember he said, you know, when he would go to local ministries, the apostle would go to local ministries and minister, he would just show up and just, you know, that was his way of showing honor, but God had instructed him to do it. And he got that through praying and seeking God and asking God for wisdom. Lord, because I see something and I want what I see, but I'm going to have to sow for it. You know, there you have some certain things, you know, you have to sow for. You know, Elijah served Elijah. He sowed his life into Elijah as a servant. Another attribute of sowing honor is, and we're going to talk about that next week, my time just about up, but is being a servant. You know, a lot of times people want to be in the forefront, want to be on the stage, But you know, God may call you in the background. See, I know personally myself, God called me in the background. He told me some 25, 30 years ago, he says, I'm going to use you in supportive ministries. You know, you're not going to always be on the stage. I'm going to use you in the areas of ministry of helps and undergirding and supportive to hold up a hand. You know, like when Moses had his rod and he had his hands lifted up, there were people holding as his hands would get tired. They would keep his hands lifted up, you know. And when you accept that lane and that avenue God's called you to and you walk in it, you are showing honor because you're doing what God's called you to do. And you're not looking for the accolades or to be seen. Because see, it's not about you being seen, but it's about God seeing you. See, when God sees you, the Bible says that promotion don't come from the east and it doesn't come from the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. And it comes from the Lord as you honor and you obey God and do what he's called you to do. Amen. All right. You guys be blessed and we'll see you next week.